Oh, well, hello there.
Hello, sir. Long time no talk. How you been?
It has been a minute, dude. I've been okay.
Yeah, you busy? Busy on the court?
Yeah, dude. Last week slammed people from all over the country, all over the world. Some people from Geneva, Switzerland,
No
Chicago,
way.
Illinois, London, England. Yeah, it's been pretty good for the last couple weeks. So very
That's
busy on the
awesome.
court. How about you taking care of the household duties a little bit lately, sir, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been a ride. I feel like I'm just getting back into the swing of the regular swing, I should say. But it's been good. It's been good. No whammies, but no sicknesses to deal with, which has been the silver lining.
That's all you can ask as far as a parent, right? I guess. Well, maybe just
Yeah.
have a little bit of peace and quiet.
Exactly. That would also be nice, but yeah, no sickness is also an added bonus. But yeah, we've been a little bit absent in the last couple of weeks. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the good news that City has received the last few weeks? Because I feel like when we left things off, City were in third place looking up at Arsenal and Liverpool, and things have changed.
It wasn't very promising. I'm trying to remember. Did we go over the City and Arsenal game?
I don't believe we did.
Okay.
That
Well,
was the
that one.
turning point.
Yes. Okay. So at that point, we were down by a couple points on Arsenal, I believe, or Liverpool at that time, maybe 1 point behind Arsenal, 1 point behind Liverpool. And so City came to play. I think pretty much everyone agreed that Arsenal showed up. Played defensive, played for the 1 point, did not play for the win. We absolutely dominated them. We really just couldn't finish anything off because they did have a really good low block. They frustrated Haaland, Saliba, and Gabriel kept him very quiet. So, I mean, not much to write about there besides us not scoring, which at that point in time, it didn't seem like we were doing too well with our offense. We hadn't been scoring the most amount of goals or anything. So it wasn't totally unexpected, but that did kind of leave us in a not great position at that
Did.
point. So, we ended up going out with a 1 point right there in that to end. But then after that, we've been phenomenal. So after that, we had to play Villa, who actually destroyed Arsenal, yeah, not destroyed, but played very well yesterday. So
On the
we beat
road,
Villa.
too.
Yep, on the road, exactly. And I was like, man, Villa are playing pretty good. So I didn't know. Actually, Villa weren't playing exactly that good a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they were in a rut.
They've kind of stepped it up a little bit, but we destroyed them. We did 4-1 on them. That was Wednesday the 3rd. Then on, and I forget who scored in that, but I know we destroyed them. Let's see here. It was, oh, that's right. Rodri scored another. He has 8 goals this year. He only needs two more until we tuck our shirts in. And that was the Phil
Yeah.
Foden. That was
The
the Phil Foden hat trick game.
hat trick, that's
So
right.
who Phil has more hat tricks than Ronaldo and a couple of other very good players that have been in the Premier League. So that's pretty exciting. He's been playing very well, Phil. Then we went on to play Crystal Palace a few days later, and this was the one where we were all kind of like, Crystal Palace has been kind of a whammy team for us. So,
Yeah.
but we did go down 1-0, and it was kind of scary. But then right away, we responded through Kevin De Bruyne, who had a couple goals. He had a brace in that game. Rico Lewis had a goal, and Erling Haaland also had a good goal. So we came through with 6 points after the Arsenal. And then we played, who did we play after that? We played, oh, that's right. So we'll talk about the Champions League after. But then obviously, this weekend, we were down by a couple points. Or down by 1 point, I believe. So was it 71, 72, 72?
Yep.
And City handled their business on Saturday, 5-1. Freaking awesome game. I think the Luton manager said it was like the toughest game that they had played all year. Luton's been obviously pretty good. But he said it was the toughest game they had played all year. I don't know if you saw the own goal for the in the opening 2 minutes,
Yeah, I
but
did.
it
Yeah.
was absurd. It was absurd. The ball was going nowhere near the goal, smashed off the defender's face, somehow going in goal. And then after that, it was just kind of like the floodgates opened. We had a couple really nice goals from Kovacic. Doku had an amazing goal, and
Yeah, that
Guardiola
was
had, yeah, the
crazy
Doku goal
Doku
was
goal.
amazing footwork. And we know he's capable of this. He's still a young player. We know he's capable of this. But I mean, and Guardiola had another worldie on his opposite foot, I think, that time. But anyway, we scored 9 out of the last 9 points. We scored what? So 13 goals in those 3 games, conceded 1, 2, 3, 4. So 13-4. So not only did we, you know, obviously, so we're up 2 points now on Liverpool and Arsenal, who both lost yesterday. So we're in first. We have 6 games remaining. We can talk about the schedule after, but I don't think we even need to, because I think it's City is just going to go on and dominate. I know we have a couple decently tough games. Tottenham's been a bogey team as well. Mm-hmm. But I just think I don't see how the mentality of where we've been the last few years with 6 games to go, I don't see us dropping points. I don't see us losing at all. West Ham on the last day worried me a little bit, but they've been very cold lately. Things are going downhill from there. So City playing very well. We've got a 2-point cushion. I don't think Liverpool, Arsenal will make that up. I think I already said that before, Liverpool would be a little too frail defensively and they would give up too many goals. So I didn't think they'd be in the picture. I thought Arsenal had a much better chance of it, but I think their mentality is going to be very broken after that. And I do think they'll drop more points.
I mean, but again, Arsenal, Arsenal have to go to United, to Wolves,
and got a tough schedule. Yeah. Yep.
Not easy.
So, I mean, like, I just think that City, I don't think City will drop any important points. So I think we've got the title pretty much wrapped up. Now we'll go on to Champions League after, but I think I'd love to see what your thoughts are on that, because I don't know. City have been here, done that the last few years. What does Pep always say? As long as we're there, as long as we're there. And with 8 games left, 9 games left, we were there. And then we've played very well in the last 3 games, and our opponents were not tough. So for Arsenal to not score at home after they've been playing so well, and I know they had the draw in Europe during the week, midweek, but to not score and to lose by giving up a couple goals in the 80s, that's really tough. And again, I didn't think Liverpool would be in the discussion. So I think we'll end up winning by 3 or 4 points this year.
Well, so look, so City have in the league.
Chelsea.
That's
the FA Cup. Sorry.
Yeah. So Brighton. At Brighton.
Yep.
Forest. Wolves at home, Fulham away, Tottenham away, and West Ham at home. So compared to Liverpool's schedule and Arsenal's schedule remaining, City definitely have the easier time of it.
And that was not the case like before. We were talking about how City probably had the toughest schedule because we had to play Arsenal, Aston Villa, Liverpool, and Tottenham. We haven't played Tottenham yet, but we had all of the other 4 top teams in there. And then it was like United, the Derby too, was just like right before that. So we were playing all of the top teams. And now it seems like, our schedule is kind of lighting up. And I don't see mentality us dropping even a little bit of a level. We'll see. I heard Rodri might be sat out this week during Europe too. He did sit out for the game Saturday. So that's just an interesting, but just for rest, because he said he needed rest after Madrid. So
makes sense. Luton's a good guy to do it too.
Yeah, and Kovacic played very well. And I mean, people were giving shit to Kovacic for a while. I remember from the first day saying, I think he's going to slot in really well. And he kind of ghosted in and had an amazing Gundogan-like goal for our, whatever goal it was yesterday.
Against Luton. Yeah.
So anyway.
What about Kyle Walker? Kyle Walker's been hurt. He might come back for Madrid, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, we're going to go over the Madrid game after, so maybe we can – if you want to talk about that now, we can talk about that. But yeah. City, I think we have wrapped up the league. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it ain't over till it's over, but if I were a betting man, I would definitely put my money on City versus maybe a week or two ago I would have said Liverpool. But not anymore. City. I don't see City being beat.
I think it's going to be really hard for City to drop points. So that being said, obviously you can't bank on it, but I think we're as close to it as we can be to win those 4 titles in a row. So something that's never been done in the Premier League. So that's pretty insane. So we'll be crossing our fingers, but it looks good. I have very good feelings about it. I just think we're so mentally tough. We've been through this path so many times before in the last few years that we're ready to handle our business. And again, Arsenal bottled it as they've done before in March, as they have done before in March and April, like probably like when they had a better team under Wenger, like before Unai Emery came in. They were doing like they would always be there around there, like not as tight as they fought us this year, but they or last year, but they would be there and they dropped off. And so again, last year they dropped off. We were down by what 5 points with 8 games remaining or something like that. End up winning. And then, you know, this year they were up two and they were looking pretty confident. So anyway, I think we're good for the league, which is quite the impressive achievement, but you know, we'll talk about that later. But we can also get into our midweek Champions League game, which was a freaking cracker of a game for all
it's
of
really
the neutral.
Too bad it's not a final. It really is. I mean, they need to it be is. These two teams need to be on opposite sides of the bracket. I know it's supposed to be random, but still.
You're totally right. Now we're starting to really build a history with Madrid. We play them a lot. We have played them a lot of times since we've been in the Champions League over the last 13, 14 years. So, I mean, we're starting to build a history against them. So if we can dominate, or not even dominate, but win this leg coming up on, what is it, Tuesday, on Wednesday, which I think we will, you know, it's just an amazing feat, and we belong with the top teams in Europe. But anyway, it was 3-3 in our first leg, and Bernardo Silva had a really, really clever free kick in the second minute, put us up 1-0. It was like elation. But very soon after, there were two goals by Madrid in the 12th and the 14th minute. One was an own goal. One was also another deflected goal. So we were down 2-1 going into the break. And then, you know, we just saw electricity. We had an amazing strike by Phil Foden from like, you know, the 22, 23 yards out. Amazing left-footed drive. And then Guardiola with the same thing a couple minutes later. So we were actually up 3-2. And then there was another worldy goal, which was like a half, was it a volley? I think it was a half volley or volley by Fede Valverde, who I absolutely love him as a player.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Loved it. Amazing player. So we ended up tying it up. We end up going on to draw 3-3. Now, I thought we played really good. And the two goals, the two first half goals that we gave up, one was a big, big deflection. And the second was another small deflection. And I think if you take those away from Madrid, they did have a couple chances, but I think overall our guys did a great job of keeping them, you know, pretty much at bay. I think we had 62% of the possession, and I thought we were really good. And that's why I think just going over, you know, that game, I know it was 3-3, but I think we're going to destroy them. I don't think they're going to get as lucky with the bounces that they got in the first leg. So I honestly think we're going to beat them again 4-1. I think we're going to come out so on fire at the Etihad. And I think, again, they were just a little bit lucky to have a couple of those goals right there. And I just don't think Madrid will be able to play as well away from home. They lost two heck many to another yellow card. We did a great job of keeping Jude quiet, did a very good job of keeping Vinny quiet. So, I mean, I think we have a good game plan going on. Going into the midweek, and I don't think Madrid will be as lucky this time. So I could see us winning 4-1 again, like we did last year. And I think we'll see Bernardo, Rodri, and KDB in the middle, and we will see Foden, and who knows if it's going to be Grealish or Doku up front. And or with Haaland up front. So we'll see that. And then it looks like Guardiola will get into the team. It looks like Diaz will get into the team. I don't know about John Stones. We will see. But then it's a question mark. Will we play Rico or will Kyle Walker get into the side? And Rico is just such a phenomenal – Rico Lewis, phenomenal player. Really, I always talk so good about him. But he's going to be a midfielder down the road. And he's such a good player, very good squad player. And I think he'll do an excellent job defensively if we keep him in there. So it was a good 3-3 match. And I just think the writing is on the wall for us to win the next one 4-1 again. I think we're going to have a repeat of next year or of last year.
You know what? I don't disagree. I feel like City have enough technical quality. I think it's also a huge advantage to play the second leg of a tie like this at home. If it was 3-3 at home and they had to go to Madrid, even though they've done pretty well there, I probably would favor Madrid, but I don't see anybody beating City with the way they're playing right now, even if Kyle Walker doesn't play. Now, if Rodri doesn't play somehow, then that would be a different story, because I feel like City are a completely different team without him. So he's a big one. I can't imagine he wouldn't play. Like, this is tailor made for him to play. This is the biggest game of the year. I can't imagine. Yeah. Like, there's no way he sits out Luton and then sits out this game. Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it.
Yep, I totally agree. It's been over a calendar year now since he has lost a game for a country or a club. And he's just a phenomenal player. We'll see if he gets his 10 goals this year.
That's an incredible stat, too.
Yeah, I think we're poised to do very well. And then that means we'll be playing Arsenal or Bayern, who had a really good game 2-2 at Emirates last week. And so we'll see what happens in Munich. I'm sure Bayern might be pretty cheesed off after losing their league this weekend for the first time in 10 years. So I think they're going to want to take it out on Arsenal a little bit. Arsenal maybe not feeling so good after the Aston Villa loss. So that's interesting to see how that plays up too. But I think either team we go into that, I mean, I think we feel confident going into playing either of them, those two teams in the semifinals. So I think City are in great shape. And I mean, again, we're in the FA Cup semifinals. We're playing Chelsea next weekend on Saturday. I mean, we're right in the hunt for the treble again. So, I mean, it's great to see Liverpool. They lost 3-0 at Anfield to Atalanta. So they're pretty much out of Europa. And, you know, they're not going to – I don't think they're going to win the league now. They're out of the FA Cup. So that was really – that only ended up being one cup for Klopp in his last season, which I don't think anybody saw that coming about maybe 2 months ago or so.
Yeah, no way. I mean, Liverpool were primed to win the league after until they ran into United at home a couple of times. And then they've just been downhill since, unfortunately for them. Haven't looked the same.
United have ruined Liverpool season.
Which, go figure, because United have ruined their own season so many times over. It's at least they've taken some other blood with them from a main rival.
Yeah, I love it.
Real quick on Chelsea, you think City are having some regrets about letting Cole Palmer go? 20 league goals, he's tied for the lead with Haaland right now.
Yeah, how many of those are penalties though? 8 or 9, I think.
Yeah, a decent amount.
It's a ton. Yeah. That being said, I mean, I did say he was a good player. Again, obviously, he would score a lot when he would play. It was just, could we make room for him? And like I've said, I think we like Oscar Bob's ability to hold on to the ball a little bit better. Maybe he doesn't score as much right now, but I know we just re-signed him. And, you know, of course we can look back and say, hey, we got rid of Cole, but, you know, he's playing for Chelsea. They're still a mess.
Did you see the game today?
I did not see the game today. No, I heard there was a big controversy about who was taking the penalty, am I right about that?
Yeah. So Palmer scored 4 goals. Chelsea won 6-0.
Wow.
But the last goal was a pen, and Nicholas Jackson and then Tony Madueke were fighting over it. And Palmer just stepped in and took the ball from both of them. And then he took the penalty and scored.
Yeah, I mean,
so it was childish, but Cole Palmer had a perfect hat trick, left foot, right foot, header.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, I wish we could have kept him? Sure. I didn't. Now, looking at his sale price of 40 million, does that look like a steal for Chelsea? Probably. So maybe we could have saved, you know, held out and got more money for him. But he's one player that, you know, obviously I'd like to see him back on our bench, but he's gone. We're not looking back after that. And again, it doesn't hurt so much, you know, us knowing that even though looking at this game, if we happen to lose to Chelsea and we do not win the league, we can look it back and say Chelsea ruined our season because we played very poorly against Chelsea this year.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but again, I think Cole, great player, would have loved to see him be on our right wing with Foden in the middle probably next year. But, you know, what are you going to do? We're probably going to bring in another midfielder, and, you know, we have enough on the wings right now. So, you know, as long as Chelsea hopefully struggles again and his goal contributions don't really add up to much that, you know, leads them being to a rival to us, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But yeah, it's a cracking player though. He'll play for England hopefully probably pretty soon.
I saw something today that said that, I forget who it was, but they said he was going to, like, there's no way he can't not start for England, which I don't know about that. I don't think that he starts over Foden, or maybe he starts over Rashford, but I don't think he plays on the left. He plays on the right or in the middle.
Yeah. He's not one of Southgate's guys yet. I don't think no. So. Right. So, yeah, exactly. And Southgate, you know, he sticks with his players. He hasn't really mixed it up a whole lot, maybe besides maybe kind of auditioning for the new striker, not a new striker, but you know what they're going to do up front. But yeah, I don't think he gets in yet, but I think, you know, not too far down the road, he's in their plans, maybe after this Euros, maybe he gets into their World Cup cycle plans. We'll see.
Yeah. I think that that's a good point. I think it's a good point. Now with the Arsenal match, one question for you here. I know I'm bouncing all over the place. Did you see the whole controversy with the handball?
Yeah.
I think the keeper put the ball down.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. Yes. Yeah. I know. I thought you were talking about in the City game. Yes. I know exactly what you have. That was crazy. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. Have you?
I have not seen it happen. I'm actually surprised that they called it. Or didn't call it. Sorry.
Didn't call it. See, okay. So you're surprised they didn't call it. I am. I would have been surprised if they did call it. I totally agree that it was a schoolboy thing, but it didn't affect the play at all. It had no effect on it. You don't want to give a penalty away on that not a technicality, but I understand it's the letter of the law, but you don't want to go doing that at that point. And I think if you're the coach, you're going to be aggrieved. But I think looking at it from an outsider's perspective, it's so hard to call that.
It's like calling a foul in a one possession game with 10 seconds left in the game. Like on a foul.
Well, you're talking about in the NCAA women's tournament.
Yeah. Like the UConn Iowa game. Like yes. Is it a foul according to the rules? Yes. Do you call that in the last 5 seconds of the game?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So it was like that. It was definitely like that.
I just think you can't call that at that point in time. I don't even know if you can call that at all. So
nope. Yeah, I don't disagree. Any final thoughts on City's last few games or form in general?
Oh man, it's just we covered it all. I think every City fan is flying high right now. I think we are so confident. I cannot see any of the players in our squad breaking their concentration for the next 30, like 40 days or whatever it is. I can't see them breaking their concentration. I feel freaking amazing. I think we can win the treble again. We'll see what happens.
Very good. In terms of United, where do I even begin? In general, so United have lost 6 of their last 7 Premier League matches. And this is after we were on course to challenge Villa and Spurs for 4th or 5th.
Yep.
And I don't know what it is, but ever since the last international break, players have come back and we've just been flat. I would say the only player that has lived up to the billing has been Kobbie Mainoo, because he's just had a fantastic season. I don't know if you saw his goal against who was it against? We just played Bournemouth. Before that was I'm trying to think who it was, but I'll send you the post on from United social media. They
was it Liverpool or Chelsea?
It was Chelsea, I think. It was Chelsea, because they did a matchup between that goal and the positioning of Makeda's classic goal from 2008. And it was like the same.
That's right. Yeah, I do remember the Maino goal, and it was amazing. What a bend! Yeah. What a turn! I think Makeda's was. I remember us watching that, dude. I remember us watching it live.
Spring Street.
No, that wasn't Spring Street. That was Prospect Hill.
No, it was Spring Street because Colin was there too.
Are you sure?
It was the TV with the two Federer posters between it.
Okay, fair enough. If you remember it that well, I thought it was at Prospect Hill. But anyway, yeah, that goal was – I thought that was better than Maino's. Maino's goal was really good, but I thought Makeda's was just a little bit more of a turn.
I agree.
Just a little bit. But yeah, but the Maino goal was very, very nice, yes.
Yeah. I would say that might be the only highlight. I mean, United are fortunate enough this weekend to have what should be a layup of an FA Cup semifinal against Coventry, but it would be very on brand for this United team to lose that match, because we managed to avoid City, we managed to avoid Chelsea, the last two Premier League sides in the tournament, and to go out to, like, what are they, a League One side, Championship side, like, it would be embarrassing. But you know what? Nothing is beneath United with the way we've been playing this season. So up and down, no consistency. The Bournemouth match this weekend was a microcosm of the rest of the season, because we didn't really play well. We showed a little bit of resilience coming down from a goal twice. And we definitely had chances to win, but I would say Bournemouth played much better than we did. They have a true identity with how they play, and they looked more dangerous the entire match than we did. They had far and away the most chances in the match. And so it's just really disheartening as a United fan to watch this team lately, because I think you asked me a long time ago, back in like January, of like, what's my take on Ten Hag? Does he stay? Does he go? And every noise that United have been making internally is that he is going to stay. Now, has he had bad luck with injuries? Yes. Case in point, right now, we don't have a left back fit. And Johnny Evans, Rafael Varane, and Victor Lindelof are all hurt. So that means that our starting center back partnership is Willy Kambalala, Kawabunga, who's 19, who's been pretty good, and then Harry Maguire. And we have no fit center backs right now beyond that. Casemiro in midfield looks like he needs to be put in a nursing home. He should go to MLS next year. He's just been awful. Somebody, one of the pundits, said he looks like he's playing at Soccer Aid, like a charity match. I don't know what's happened with him this year, if age has finally caught up with him, but he has lost more than a step between last year and this year. But who are we going to start? Scott McTominay was out hurt last match too. You're not going to start Amrabat, who's been a huge disappointment too. So you have to put him next to Maino. He's the best we've got, even though he's been awful. So I don't know. It's very hard to watch this team. Somehow we could still finish the season with a trophy. But I also think that if Ten Hag stays, part of him staying would be the owners and the new structure in place looking out there and saying, all right, well, who's going to come in? Xavi Alonso's staying at Leverkusen. Do you play for De Zerbi out there? He might be a little bit of a gamble. Brighton haven't had the best season. They haven't had the worst season either, but they haven't been fantastic and blown the doors off other teams. I don't even know who else you bring in. Nagelsmann, he hasn't been the greatest even at Bayern. There's a reason why he's not there anymore. So I don't know. It's very tough to see who they would bring in who has a proven track record, who would not be extremely disruptive, aka Mourinho again or Antonio Conte. Like, that's not what the new ownership wants. Maybe a bit of good news is that it looks like things are moving again behind the scenes, not necessarily with Dan Ashworth, unfortunately, with the whole Newcastle situation, but Jason Wilcox, who's a highly rated technical director, was over at Southampton. He's coming over to take John Murtaugh's role. He's left the club after 11 years. Didn't really set the world on fire in terms of recruitment or anything like that. So not really sad to see him go. But it doesn't appear that United are going to have like their preferred full structure in place for this summer transfer window. And you have to wonder how much of the transfer plans are from this new regime that's only partly in place, and how much of it is reused from the team that was here prior with John Murtaugh too.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that United at least make it to the FA Cup final. Do I think that they will beat City? No, I do not, especially with what happened last year.
So you do think City will go through? You think City will beat Chelsea?
I think City will beat Chelsea. I mean, for all Cole Palmer has been, Chelsea are still a mess, especially at the back, and I think that they can be had pretty easily. So
you would hope Pep can figure them out for a third time this year.
You would hope so. Now, the only thing that I think is potentially in Chelsea's favor is that they have a whole week to rest, and City have the big match on Wednesday against Madrid. And
it is at home, though. They don't have to travel.
Yeah, they don't have to travel, but you know,
and it could go. You never know. It could go into extra time and penalties. So you never know.
Exactly.
But yeah, yes. I do want to talk about United for a minute. You did talk about their record in the last 6 or 7 games since February 11th and 18th, when you beat Luton Town and Villa, and even the week before that, you had beaten. You actually had 4 wins in a row in the league.
Yeah.
Dating through February. So February, then. You get into March, you lose to the last game of February, you lose to Fulham, lose to City, beat Everton. So I'm sorry. So you had, that was your one win, I think, in a while. Draw with Brentford, lost to Chelsea, draw to Liverpool, draw to Bournemouth. That is not a good record right there. Since those 4 wins in a row, and that really screwed you guys. But I'm pretty sure I said after that it was a false flag. I think I forgot what game we're talking. I think it was the Liverpool game. It was the FA Cup game when they won 4-3.
Yes.
So the game was a false flag, and they have not done really anything since that. So, I mean, I don't think that's brutal right now. And you guys have a lot of questions to ask and see what happens, because short of winning the FA Cup, I mean, Ten Hag does not look like the guy to do it, even with all the injuries and stuff like that. I heard he had a row with another player. Maybe you can comment on that. Mm-hmm. But wow, he just they've lost the plot.
Yeah, I would say the only positive has been that those 2 Liverpool matches, but I also think the story of United's season is they have a run of bad form, and then there's some miraculous big win that is supposed to galvanize the team, and everybody says, oh, is this the turning point in United's season? And then it never ends up being the
turning point. It's probably happened 4 or 5 times this year.
Yeah, you know, and also, like, to your point about Ten Hag, like, I do feel for him a little bit because, you know, he's got Slim Pickens to deal with. Who knows how much of that is his training and how much of it is bad luck. But at the same time, even without injuries, the other thing I'll say in his favor is we have not had a backup striker for the entire second half of the season because Martial has been injured and he will likely never play for the club again. We already know he's leaving. That's confirmed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you could say, you know what, Rashford is a backup, and yeah, he is, but that's not his favorite position. We know that. So it's not really a like for like anymore. He's much more comfortable on the wing. So it's unfortunate. It really is that we haven't had that firepower, because you can see that there's been very few games, maybe aside from the Liverpool FA Cup one, where we've scored more than 1 or 2 goals, and it's usually 1 goal and that's it. So it's tough, and nobody is going to to have a contending team with one striker. And Højlund hasn't, you know, he's been okay. He's had some decent runs of form, but it's also his first season in the Premier League and he's like 20 years old. So you can't put those kind of expectations on a kid like that right away and expect him to carry the whole team. It's not realistic.
Agreed. Well, so you guys are looking at, you're going to need a central defender. You're going to need a central midfielder. You're going to need another striker. And I thought you were going to say left back too. Exactly. How much money are you guys going to be spending this upcoming window?
Well, I did see a report that, and I mean, it's a decent strategy, that United are hoping that the Saudis come in big for aging players. Yeah, for people like
Casemiro,
Varane.
Yep.
And his warm better. He's another star name. I'm sure that they will. Will it happen? But I think that's what United are probably banking on to settle the books a little bit. I have seen some other reporting that in their review of, like, you know, business practices and just everything as a whole, Ratcliffe and Ineos are taking away like corporate credit cards from execs, like really tightened budget. Reports that there might be some layoffs of like 25% of the staff. I mean, it's just getting too bloated, taking company costs away. So they're definitely trying to tighten things up over there with, you know, while trying to give some relief to the team via financial fair play and not impacting them negatively there anymore. It's pretty crazy. It's not crazy, but it's interesting that's impacts financial fair play. It's not just ins and outs of players. It's like, it's actual like operating profit of the club too, which is probably the way it should be. But I don't think that we really think of it as that when we talk about it either. We always think, oh, you know, players in, players out, and that's it.
Yeah, that's true. You don't think about it, but it adds up when you have that large of a staff and you're giving that many perks to, you know, all the people, and it does make sense to count it that way. And, you know, you're going to have to figure out how to lure in the best talent, you know, without those perks. So I don't think City probably have any problem paying out those to their employees. So it's interesting to see that United, or to hear that United is going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, maybe some of this is being driven by Barada and him coming in and seeing how things are run. I know he's technically not working for United yet, but maybe he's given some notes to Ratcliffe, like, hey, this is how we do things, and at City, maybe we should implement this at United too. So interesting times ahead. There's all this talk of, oh, you know, fifth place could get Champions League, which it's looking likely it will, but then United, I think, are 12 back of Spurs now. Even like Spurs have been pretty terrible lately, and they lost 4-0 at Newcastle, and they're still well up on United.
You're 10 back.
Yeah.
And you're tied with Newcastle.
So I know there's 5 or 6 match weeks left. I don't think it's realistic. So
it's not feasible at this point in time.
And you know what? It may even be that United are out of Europe next year, and maybe that's okay. It's probably not okay for recruitment. I don't know if we're going to get the targets we'd want to get without European football. You might have to buy some kids or some promising youngsters, which might be the better way to go versus some of these egos we've been bringing in lately or aging players.
How many years ago was it that you guys missed out on Europe? Was it 2 years ago? 3?
I think it was 3. I think maybe.
And so I mean, I don't know how that year went, but that would be interesting to look at that and see if there's any parallels.
I mean, I don't know if we were in Europe when Bruno came, but like that's the kind of player where, like, I mean, there were definitely other clubs after him, but they were like, you know, Spurs back then, which was not a huge draw.
There was a lot of talk about him coming to City.
Yeah, there was. So, like, you know, maybe Bruno's a bad example, but you need a player like that who's not overly concerned with
I get
Champions
what you're saying. You got to go – I was going to say, what you got to do is you got to go look through the Europa League teams and get those maybe less standout players that are going to bring that value. You're going to probably want to look through those teams a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, you brought in Højbjerg from Atalanta. Might have to look back over there. And no, they're actually in the champion. No, that was Europa League too. So, yeah, you have to look for gems throughout, because I don't know who's going to want to come and play for United under Ten Hag with no European football and still the inconsistencies that we've seen.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not playing attractive football, so who's going to want to come and sign up for that? But anyway, what I was asking you also, it was Mr. Alejandro Garnacho that got into a little bit of a tiff with Erik ten Hag.
Yeah, he I think he liked the social media post that was criticizing either Ten Hag directly or just like United's playing style and form in general. And I'm pretty sure he unliked it and he took it away. But Ten Hag is saying that it's not a big deal and he let it go. And, you know, it's not something that's to the level of like Jadon Sancho. So, oh, by the way, that's another saleable asset this summer too. Like, I don't think that he's coming back, especially if Ten Hag is staying. I also saw a report that Eintracht Frankfurt does not want to buy Donny van de Beek for £11 million, which is crazy because Real Madrid bought him for like $60 million from Ajax before United did. And so Sancho, you got van de Beek. It's going to be a very interesting summer for whoever's in charge of ins and outs at United.
Cannot wait to see that. All right, man. So do we have any headlines we want to talk about from United besides what we've said?
Headlines from United. What do I have?
Anything else stand out to you?
I think that the best – no, I mean, I'll just say that I think the best possible finish for United is probably sixth or seventh. And if given the choice between Europe or not, I would probably say – no, Europe is better for United, not necessarily in terms of recruitment, but I think that United might just need less games to play. I think that Newcastle is like the perfect example of like a squad that was not built for the demands of European competition. And even though they did pretty well in the group stage and they got a little bit unlucky at the end, I do think that with United's injuries, it's really tough to be able to compete in multiple different competitions, especially ones in Europe. I think that the best they can hope for is sixth or seventh. And again, maybe that's okay. I know. Any city topics you want to cover?
I mean, just, I think we have so many great options between – I just want to talk about how Guardiola has played very well over the last few weeks, considering he hasn't been the best this year. He's been responsible for a couple of mistakes and maybe not, you know, keeping his possession of the ball as well as he should, but he has scored a couple of huge goals the last few weeks. He's been solid defensively and should give a shout to him. It's taken him a while to get used to the system, but it seems like now he's probably coming alive a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Good shout.
Yep. What a goal by Doku, but I still like Jackie playing Super Jackie just because he gives us so much control. He sucks other players in, keeps possession of so well and gives that little pass off at the end. I know Doku's a little more dynamic, but I just love the possession that Jackie brings us. And I think he'll be our guy, hopefully, to finish out the rest of the year on that left-hand side for the main part. We'll see what happens. But I think that's how it's going to go.
Do you think that City are going to go after fullbacks in the summer? Kyle Walker is not getting any younger. And City haven't really had a true left back probably in two or three seasons.
The rumblings this week are that Frimpong will come back and play left back for us. We'll see if that happens. And I'm totally comfortable with Rico Lewis becoming our first choice right back. So if we have to spend in other areas, we'll still have Kyle Walker under contract, but, you know, make Rico our primary right back, and he's so good with possession, and then have Kyle Walker play maybe some specialized games. And yeah, so I think we could definitely bring in a left back. I don't see us bringing in a right back. I wouldn't want to. I'd rather spend a little bit more for hopefully Wirtz. We'll see if Bernardo Silva ends up staying. I know we're always saying whether that's going to happen or not, but yeah. It feels like if we were to somehow repeat last year, you would think a few other guys would clear out, thinking he would be another guy that would want a new challenge and getting out of Manchester. So hopefully bring in Florian Wirtz. We'll see what happens. Obviously, his value has gone up. He's been great in the Bundesliga, scored a couple goals this weekend. So, but would love to see him fit in for the new side. We'll see how Kevin De Bruyne does, if he's really slowing down maybe a little bit, but I don't think that's going to happen for a couple years. But would still love to bring in another midfielder, and we'll get rid of Calvin Phillips, so we'll see what we do with a little bit of defensive coverage. Maybe John Stones ends up playing that role a little bit more, so we'll see.
I think it's going to be a big ask for someone like Frimpong to come in and give up his primary position and play out on the left. I don't know, like, the amount of money he is going to cost. I saw an interview with the Leverkusen CEO, and he was like, we're only selling one big player this summer, and with that sale, we're going to buy two or three others. So, gotcha. I mean, that's Frimpong. Who are their other good players? Victor Boniface, who's their striker, who's pretty good. I'm trying to think. Oh,
Wirtz,
Grimaldo. Yeah. Any one of those players is going to cost money. I don't know if City are going to come and pay the top for Frimpong and have him play out of position.
You're very right about that. You're very right about that. I think City don't overpay, and you would think that, yes, Leverkusen will be holding out for a large sum, and I don't think City will overpay. So you're right. I think there are other teams that would probably want to snap him up maybe more than City.
The other thing, City could maybe go after Grimaldo. Like, if City are going to invest at left back, I don't know of a better true left back besides Alphonso Davies, who's going to be on the market potentially. The rumors are Davies is going to go to
Madrid.
Which would be crazy because they already have Ferland Mendy and the other Spanish kid. I forget his name. But I don't really know of any other left backs out there on the market unless you're talking about unproven youngsters who are going to be that good.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe somehow Pep. I would have to look it up. I'll do a little research on it and see who we got in our academy that could possibly play left back, because I know we have good.
Well, there's a players. Spanish guy. What is it? Sergio? Is it Garcia? Gracia? What's his name?
Sergio Gomez.
Gomez. Sorry, yeah, the one from Belgium that you guys got.
Yeah, you can't see. You know, Pep really. Pep, I would think Pep really does not. You know, he hasn't played him very much, doesn't trust him that much. He did have a little run of games, I think, before New Year. But, I don't think so. I think Pep would rather look for somebody outside of that because he's seen him for a couple years now. He knows what Gomez brings. So I don't think he's going to want to stick with that.
I hear you. He's kind of getting the Calvin Phillips treatment, unfortunately, for him.
He's a good player. He'd probably do well for a lot of other teams like Cole Palmer. But he's just, you know, he's not enough to fit into the City side consistently.
Fair play.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And who knows, maybe after the end of this year and going into next season after the preseason, maybe Pep feels like Guardiola really can nail down that left back spot. And I don't mind Nathan Ake playing that. I know he's had a couple mistakes, but he was so good for us last year. It was incredible.
Yeah.
So again, I don't think we really have to stress too much about that position. The Kyle Walker thing, maybe a little bit more depending on his injuries, but you know, I think between him and Rico, I think we are very good there. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but can't see us dipping in too much. I think we'd rather replace our midfielder and probably bring in another winger would be my guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, let's move on to picks, because we have a lot to go
through. So many. Holy moly.
So I'm pretty sure we left things off week 26, I was up 231 to 217, so a 14-point gap.
A gap.
And we had a lot of matches that week. There were six of them. So let me just go through them real quick. City hosting Villa was a 4-1 City win. I said 3-1. You said 2-0, so 3 points each. Chelsea and United was a 4-3 Chelsea win. You had a 2-2 draw. I had a 2-1 United win. No points there for either of us. 0-0 for Brentford and Brighton. I had a 1-1 draw. You had a 2-1 Brentford win, so 0 for you and 3 for me. Palace and City was a 4-2 City win. I said 3-1 City. You said 2-1, 3 points each. United hosting Liverpool. You said 2-1 Liverpool. I said 2-2 draw. It was a 2-2 draw, so 0 for you, 5 for me. Brighton and Arsenal was a 3-0 Arsenal win. I said 2-1. You said 2-0. So 3 points each. So the end of week 27 – Andrew 17, Steve 9. So that brought it up to 248 to 226. So that would be 36-4, 22-point lead. Now, week 28 was a little bit of a different story this past week, four matches. So Madrid and City, I said 3-2. You said 2-2. So you correctly predicted the draw. So 3 for you and none for me. City and Luton, it was 5-1. You said 4-1. I said 4-0, so 3 points each. Bournemouth and United, I said 2-1 United. You said 2-2 draw, and it was a 2-2 draw, so 5 for you and 0 for me. And then Newcastle and Spurs was a 4-0 win. I said 1-1, so 0 for me. You said 2-1 Spurs, 0 for you. But at the end of the week, 11 for you and 3 for me. So now we are at 251 to 237. So back to a 14-point lead, which is where we left off anyway.
Crazy.
So four matches this coming week.
So we only have 2 weeks then of shows, is what you're saying.
Just because one of them was that longer one. I think there was the international break, so it was one either side. Okay, so this week there's four matches we're going to pick from. There's City and Madrid in midweek, and then the two FA Cup semifinals, and then an additional Premier League match. So we'll start with City hosting Madrid. You said earlier on 4-1. Are you sticking to that for City, or are you going to change it?
City 4-1.
Okay. I do agree with you. I think City's going to win. I think it's going to be closer, though. I'm going to go 3-2. City.
Okay.
City and Chelsea at Wembley FA Cup semi-final. What do you think that scoreline is going to be?
3-1 City.
3-1 City, okay. I'll go 2-1 City. I think it'll be close. Usually those matches are closer.
I'd like to edit that. I'd like to say 3-2 City.
Okay, 3-2 City. United hosting Coventry. I'm going to say 2-0 United. But it won't be easy. What do you think is going to happen?
I visualize them giving up a goal. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say 2-1 United. I kind of want to say they're going to go to the penalties at 1-1, but I'm going to say 2-1 United.
Okay.
I think it's going to be close. I'll say that. I think they'll score in Fergie time.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, last match is a Premier League match, and it is Wolves hosting Arsenal. Arsenal have had a tough time historically going to the Molineux. Do you think that Wolves can pull off the upset?
Like I said, Arsenal also have a midweek game. They have a huge midweek game that could affect that. I don't know, is that game tomorrow? So that could have a huge effect on them. Based on where we're at, I think they're going to be psychological. I think they're going to lose in Munich, and I think that's going to leave them hurt. And I think they will lose 2-1 Wolves.
2-1 to Wolves. Okay. I'm going to say 1-1 draw. I think it'll be tough, but 1-1. All right. Any final thoughts?
Wow, City are looking to go four in a row. Pretty freaking incredible. I don't have a doubt that they're gonna lose any games. No doubt about it. We're gonna win every game going forward. We're gonna win the treble again. Just you wait. And it's gonna be great beating United in the FA Cup part of it, which we did last year too, though. So fair enough.
I'd like to counter and say it's probably not gonna happen, but it's probably gonna happen.
Right, man. Well, again, there people are saying, you know, you often hear there are twists and turns still to be had in this Premier League race. I don't think so. I think we are on a straight sprint to the finish line.
I don't disagree. I think part of me is holding out hope that we'll get down to the final day and it could go anybody's way between Arsenal, Liverpool, and City. That would be awesome drama.
Right, for sure.
But we'll see. Time will tell. It is the Premier League. Anything can happen.
Yep. All right, man. Well, very good. Let's chat soon. And right now, City is up. Manchester is blue.
Yes, it is. All right, dude. Arrivederci. Until next time, everybody. Manchester is purple. We're out.
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah.